We're looking at life in the kingdom, and we're looking at the blessings. We've just looked at five verses over 3 weeks. But really, it starts out saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. And it's talking about being a citizen of the kingdom. And this glass represents the fact that we are not poor in spirit. On our own, you and I are naturally full of something. And so over the last 2 weeks, I pointed out that we're usually full. And what it means to be full of something is we all are born wanting to do what we want to do. Little kids, you've got to teach them what's right and wrong. You've got to teach them what they're supposed to do because they naturally just want to do their own thing. They want to do what they want to do. They have their mind made up. And as parents, we have to correct them and lead them in a way that is beneficial for them because they don't know any better. We're no different as adults, except as we get older and wiser, we continue to do what we want to do. As we get older and wiser, we just become more confident in the fact that we know what's best for us. We know what's good in our own eyes. And this is what this red liquid represents here, is us being full of self. Or being full of ourselves. That's what we've been talking about. The blessings here, every week, and more so in the next coming weeks, are about pouring ourselves out. That's what poor in spirit means. Being empty so that we can be filled. Everything that's listed in these blessings are things we have to be filled with because these are not things that come natural to us at all. There's something that has to be supernaturally given to us. And so that's where we've been for the last 3 weeks. This Sunday, we're just going to be focusing on one verse. It's going to be Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Go ahead and put the text up. So if you're not there, turn there. If you don't think you can get there in time, we're going to read the blessings in their entirety or what we've covered so far in our new verse. So if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're not there, you can look at the screen behind me. Seeing the crowds, Jesus, went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You may be seated. Amen. As you're being seated, if you would, bow with me. Lord Jesus, this morning, I ask that you would give me strength to clearly communicate your word. Fill me with your spirit that I would speak by your power. Give us hearts and minds to hear your truth. Help us to be receptive to what you have to say to us today. Help us be honest with ourselves and honest with you. I ask that we would leave this place hungry and thirsty for you. That you would clear out our lives of everything that we fill ourselves with that is not you. You would empty us this morning. I ask this all in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. You can go ahead and put up the next slide. The blessings here that are listed off, and there are a few more if you go and read. We'll start moving a little quicker after this week. Blessed is a word that, or being blessed is a word that we use quite a bit in religious circles. So I want to each week point out this is what it actually means. It's about being full of joy. It's being about being favored by God and being satisfied. That's what it is. It's not about having a bunch of good stuff happen to you. I mean, that's one way of the blessed actually does mean, but not here. That's not what it has in view. It's not about having all these good things. this type of blessed is a joy that comes from God and comes from being accepted by God. So let's look into what this means, because this is this can be a strange verse for someone who's never heard these terms before or heard it phrased this way. He starts off by saying that happy or joyful are those who thirst and hunger, which is the exact opposite of what common sense tells us. Common sense tells us a full stomach is a happy stomach, right? That's common sense. In fact, we have a word in our house. It's called hangry. It's when you're hungry and you get angry. It's hangry. And everybody in our house gets hangry if they haven't eaten. And so we like to keep bellies full in our house because that keeps everybody happy. From a natural point of view, this doesn't make sense, which is part of the point of how Jesus phrases everything here. It's not supposed to, this is not something that comes natural to you or me. This is something, natural is this. Natural is doing what we think is right, what works for us, what makes us happy, what our heart tells us to do, as our culture, our society, our mind, our common sense tells us, this is what we're supposed to be about. This is something completely else, which is the point. Because being a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, is living like somebody who isn't really from here. Right? You can figure out real quick if somebody's not from Texas. You know? If they walk up to you and they look at and they see you're wearing cowboy boots and they ask you where your horse is. Now, some of y'all have horses, but not everybody who wears boots has horses. That's why, or has cattle for that matter. That's why we have that term, all hat and no cows, you know, all hat, no cattle. That term, I mean, just because you're from Texas and you have a pair of boots doesn't mean you have a horse. But if somebody walked up and said that, you would know, you're not from around here. It's the same way with what's being described here. If you live this way, people are going to look at you and say, you're not like other people I know. That's the point. Living in the kingdom is living like nobody else does, which we'll get to here in a second. So being hungry and thirsting, how is this supposed to be happy or what does this have to do with being full of joy? Well, it's the object here. The object here is righteousness. Now, this is a big biblical word. I'm not going to apologize for using it this morning. We need to learn what these words mean. You can look on the screen behind me. Righteousness, we'll get to justification, sanctification. These are big words. But you as a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, he's who you live for, these are words that his word uses. You and I have to get used to them. We got to learn what they mean. If you have a hobby, you have to learn the terminology. So if you knit, you need to know what size needles and gauges, and I'm not really sure with knitting, but my wife does. So you need to know what that is, all right? If you're going to learn a sport, even if you're just a fan of a sport, you need to know what the rules are. It's the only way you can enjoy the game or get angry at the TV is if you know what the rules are. If you don't know the rules, you can just enjoy the whole thing, and it doesn't matter what happens at the end of it, you know? But the reason why you're able to enjoy it, be excited, be happy, is you've learned the rules. You've learned the terminology. You know what an offsides is, or an extra point, or a penalty shot, or whatever game you're watching, a birdie, an eagle. You know what those terms are. Even if you're not big into sports or you don't have a big hobby, just watching, you know what a pilot episode is, or a pilot series is, or a cameo. Or music. You know what certain genre of music is, bluegrass, jazz, and each one has their own terms. In order to really enjoy something, you've got to learn something about it. You've got to learn the terms. You and I need to learn the terms. We got to learn what the words are that the text uses. And one of these is righteousness. So this word, the simplest way to say it is it means that when God looks at you, he says, you're good. You're just. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm not holding anything against you. Being right before God. Righteousness. But what's in view here is something a little deeper. That's why I've got these other two big words up here, justification and sanctification. One has to do with becoming, and one has to do with being. Just like the last couple weeks, we've talked about this whole series of verses are talking about becoming a citizen of the kingdom and being a citizen of the kingdom. Justification is becoming a citizen of the kingdom. In order to be blessed, to have joy, to be satisfied, to be favored by God, to be filled with this new life, this different way of living, to be a citizen of the kingdom, you need to be right before God. This right here, this red liquid represents everything that we're naturally full of. If you're full of yourself, which we all, even those that are Christians can become full of themselves. Now, when it comes to being in the kingdom, this is a one-time deal. Justification is a one-time deal. But you can't come into the kingdom like this. There has to come a point in your life where you empty yourself, where you tell God, look, I know that because I'm all about me and what I want to do and what works for me and what's best for me, me and you are not good. This is why we talked about this morning already, Scott talked about this during the offertory. He talked about hell. The reason that hell exists is because we weren't built to be full of this. We were built to be something else. But we've rejected God, and we've done our own thing, and rather do what we want to do. This is why hell exists. We sung this in Christ alone. The wrath of God was satisfied. Well, the reason Jesus had to die on a cross is God's very, very angry with us. And he should be. He should be. We don't like this in our culture, but the reality is, when we're full of self, we're enemies of God. If you decided that you wanted to support the Islamic State here in the U.S., you would become an enemy of the U.S. government and an enemy of U.S. citizens, because you were born here. You're expected to be full of support for your government, but you instead fill yourself with something else, being supportive of something that actually is opposed to the U.S. government. Guess what? You become an enemy. That's you and me. We're born enemies of God because we want to do what we want to do, and we don't care what God wants. We want to be good with God. We want to receive all his benefits, but we want to do what we want to do. In order to be right before God, this has to be empty. We have to hunger and thirst for this. Look, in order to become a citizen of the kingdom, you need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, right standing before God. You have to be hungry for you and God being good. And the only way that you find that is by emptying yourself, by pouring this out, and giving God everything, asking him to fill you this morning, if he hasn't already. So that's part of what it has in view here. The second thing it has in view, though, I think both are in view, is what's called sanctification. And what that is just becoming who you already are. If you have already poured yourself out, I'm not going to pour it out yet. I'm not done with my illustration. But if you were to pour yourself out and you are right before God, that's a one-time deal. You're in. You're a citizen of the kingdom. But being a Christian is about, we've talked about this every week, we still, even after we become citizens of the kingdom, we wake up each morning forgetting. It's like Groundhog Day, okay? Over and over and over again. We forget, and we don't realize. Look, every day we need to, I mean, that's probably not a good analogy, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, then just forget I said it. Groundhog Day, but we have to pour ourselves out. You and I, being a Christian is about emptying ourselves every day. This is a one-time deal to become a citizen of the kingdom, but it's not something that we stop doing. We do it. It's a pattern of life. Emptying this cup is a pattern of life. Because naturally, you and I, even as Christians, we want to be about us. We want to do what we want to do. Half the time, that's why we get mad and angry anyway. Because somebody slighted us. Because somebody's done something against me. Somebody's been unjust to me. Somebody's done something to insult me. Somebody's, it's, it's, you know, it's about our preferences, it's about our reputation, it's about our self-esteem. And as Christians, we have to empty ourselves every day. You and I, if we're to live as citizens in the kingdom, we live in a way that's just foreign to everybody else. We say, you know what? It's not about me. I hunger and thirst to be more like my Savior Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want him to fill me up. So this hunger and thirsting here, this joy that we receive from it, let me just read a passage to you. This is probably pictured better. I'm spending too much time here. Psalms 42. I'm going to read a few verses. I want you just to hear the language here, okay? If you want to turn here later, jot it down. But just listen to the language. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them to the procession of the house of God, with glad shouts, with songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Here's what he's saying. Look, I know we put this on coffee mugs and t-shirts. This is not a cute picture of a deer that's just a little thirsty. That's what we picture when we hear this verse. We think of pictures that we have of deer. And if you've got one of those, I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying this picture, this language, this poetry he's using is something far more extreme than that. And in West Texas, you know how precious water is, how scarce it can be. What we're to picture is not a deer that's just merely thirsty and looking to go to a little babbling brook. This is a deer in a desolate wasteland that needs water because it's about to die. Frothing at the mouth because it's dehydrated and it's going to die if it doesn't get water. The psalmist here is saying, that's me. That's me, but I want water, I want God. I look forward to the day that I come and worship with other people before God because I need more of him. I long for him. I thirst for him. I desire him more than anything else. Most people don't talk about God like that because most, even Christians, are not living as citizens in the kingdom. Now let's get into why this matters for your life. I spent too much time explaining this. And let's get into go ahead and throw up the next slide. The reason why this matters for you is the reason why nobody talks like that now. I mean, really think about how many people, how excited are you to be here this morning? Sometimes we can be excited, a little bit. But this is somebody who is crying because they're not able to be in the presence of God with other believers. I don't know, I'm guilty of this as well. I don't know that I've done that. Cried because I could not be present with other believers in the presence of God. And Jesus said, where two or more gathered in my name, I'm there. That's here. How many of us actually feel that way and think that way? We don't. And here's the problem. Most of us go through our lives addressing the symptoms rather than the real deep issue, which is what this verse is hitting at. So, you and I live life, we avoid pain. That's natural. We want comfort. We don't want to hurt, right? We don't want to feel pain. We don't want to feel loneliness. We don't want to feel discouraged. We want something that makes us happy. And so we chase after things that satisfy us. The problem is, what we're feeding are just symptoms. And so we fill our lives with junk food, like this cup here, instead of God. It's just like, I don't know how many of y'all have been to a Texas Day Brazil, okay? I can't afford to really eat there. I've only got to eat there once because I had a friend that invited me to go with him. But for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a real high-end restaurant, and they have all these really high-end meats And that's really mainly what you get. Now, they have sides and other things like that, but that's not why you go to a Texas Day Brazil. You go because you get all these specialty, really high-end meat. And so you're at this table, and you can eat as much as you want. Like, these guys come out with these little plates, and they're like 12 different meats they come out with. You know, filet mignon, you know, all this different stuff. Lamb, you know, whatever you can think of that's a really awesome meat. Except they don't have bacon, which, anyway. They need to add bacon to the menu. But they come out with these plates, and they say, you know, if you have a little circle there, and if it's green, it means go. So they'll just keep coming. So you tell them, hey, I want that on my plate, and the next guy will come over, and you're like, you want some of this? And you put that on your plate, and you just can keep going as long as you want. You turn it over red when you want them to stop, leave you alone for a little bit, so you can take a breather, and then you can go back and turn green again. Well, if you know that you're going to a place like that, people who've been are like, man, their salad bar, do not fill up on it, because then you won't get in, you won't even get to try all the meat. You'll be so full. Their salad bar has all these different cheeses and shrimp and all this little nice stuff because it's cheaper than the meat they're going to feed you, right? So they want you to fill up on the salad bar, not on the meat, because they save money. So if you know you're going, somebody who's been there before will tell you, don't fill up on the sidebar. You get a couple things so you can feel like you've done your healthy part, you know, and you're not going to have a heart attack before you leave, but you're really there for the meat. Also, if you know you're going, it's a good idea to eat a light lunch or maybe skip lunch. I know that's a little extreme, but how often are you going to get to eat at a place that costs like, I don't know what it goes for now, $50 a head or something like that. It's ridiculous. But if you know this is the one time you're going to go and you're going to splurge, you're going to make sure that when you get there, you're going to be hungry because you're about to have some good food, right? How much sense would it make for you to go and buy a bunch of Little Debbie snack right before you go and just pig out? And then you get there and they have this awesome, exquisite meat. If you're not a meat eater, I'm sorry. This illustration is not for you. Bear with me. But they've got all these exquisite meats and stuff, and you've stuffed yourself so much on Little Debbie snacks, you can't even get a mouthful. That would be stupid. But you and I do this every Sunday morning. Because what we have before us is a filet mignon. God is here. God is present. And we can have as much as we want of God. But what we do, we satisfy our lives with things that make us comfortable, that make us feel better, that are not God. And so we stuff ourselves with Little Debbie snacks, and we're full, so we can't receive anything from God. And this is why you and I, when we come together and worship together, often do not feel the presence of God, because we have not come hungry and thirsty for what really matters. Amen. That's you and I. Because we're dealing with the symptoms and not the heart issue. See, because we try to avoid pain and suffering, and it's really all about me and what I want, we're not willing to do the extreme and hold out for what really matters. Hey, skipping a meal before you're going to Texas Day Brazil is a sacrifice, right? I mean, that's a sacrifice. Most of us do not want to go hungry, but if you know what you're waiting for, it's worth it. It's worth it. Since we're just addressing symptoms and we're skirting the issue with God, we don't really go to Him to satisfy our soul. We go to disconnecting, maybe with TV. Escape. A lot of us escape because culture, society, technology, it makes it easy to do today. With music, with TV, with a video game, with fill in the blank. Everything's at our fingertip. We can escape our problems and our concerns. But it's a Little Debbie snack. We do the same thing with look, you can, and you, I'm trying to hit just the things that hit all of us. I mean, I think we could all identify major things like, you know, drugs or alcohol, or some people sleep. When they're really stressed out or really upset, they just want to go to sleep and escape it all. They'll stay in bed all day. You know, we do that when we're hurting. Because we're looking to address the symptoms and not the problem. If you had a doctor come to you and say, look, you have a fever, I'll get you a little bit of Tylenol for your fever. You got some swelling around your leg or some swelling around your arm, there's redness there. You got a cut that's bleeding. Well, let me just ice it and put a Band-Aid on it. If a doctor just treated your symptoms, that'd be a really bad doctor. You know why? That's probably an infection. And if it's not treated properly, you'll die. You can die. Now, whether you'll die or not, it's a gamble. But if the doctor doesn't treat the infection, that's a bad doctor, because it puts your life at jeopardy. Your eternal joy is at jeopardy. This is why we have pain and suffering and we hurt. We're in a broken, fallen world because everybody's full of this instead of full of what we were created to be full of, and that's God. And we put ourselves at jeopardy because we just address symptoms. And we fill ourselves with a little Debbie snack. The thing that's the hardest thing to do for us is to let go of doing all that for me. That's the hardest thing to do. But if you know that you're going to receive something far much better than a little Debbie snack, it's worth it. It's worth it. That's what he's talking about in this passage. That we do the hard thing and empty ourselves when that's not the easy thing to do. That's not the comfortable thing to do. That's not what feels best for us. But we have to do it so that we will be filled, which is the promise we receive here. Go ahead and put up the next slide. Here's why being filled matters for your life. Because what being filled here is it all goes back to the gospel, to the cross, what Jesus has done for you. Now, look, this is about first becoming. If you have not had this, if this has not been an experience in your life, you need this morning. You need to first empty yourself and realize what you're full of is the reason the wrath of God is there. It's the reason why it's right. It's the reason why hell really does exist. Because if there really is a God out there who's perfect in every way and you reject him and you were created by him, you deserve wrath, eternal wrath. But you need to empty yourself this morning because being filled by God, being filled by Christ, the righteousness that we're talking about here that we receive from Jesus, the right standing before God, it frees us. Here's the filet mignon. Jesus frees us through his death on the cross from the penalty of sin. There's no hell. There's no wrath. There's no condemnation for you if you put your faith in Christ, if you empty yourself of self and say, God, I'm yours. There's no more anger. There's no more wrath. God isn't angry with you. He loves you. You're his because the penalty has been paid for by the death of his son on a cross. For you to become a citizen of the kingdom, you have to receive this. You have to accept this. You have to make it your own. For you to be a citizen of the kingdom, live like who you are, you have to be reminded of this. That look, Christian, God isn't up there waiting to smack you because you messed up. He's not a disgruntled, angry parent like some of us can be. Okay? That's not God. He sees his son when he sees you. The penalty of sin is gone. Next, he frees us from the power of sin. Look, Christian, especially. Now look, if you need to become a Christian, sin controls you. You being full of yourself means that the desire to escape all the pain and suffering in life and to be comfortable controls you. That's what sin is. It controls you until you empty yourself, and then you can be controlled by God. Christian, the power of sin, maybe you've got some stuff you just can't seem to let go of that keeps tripping you up, keeps being a problem. It's like you just can never get a break. You need to be reminded of the cross and the fact that Jesus died to set you free. And it may mean that you repent and you fight again. You have to wake up to fight another day and fight hard. But in Christ, you have freedom from the power of sin. Finally, you are going to be free from the presence of sin. Your hope is future. The penalty is past. It was paid for at the cross. Okay? Your penalty of sin, God's not angry with you. That was taken care of at the cross. It's done. It's finished. If you receive it, it's done. It was done 2,000 years ago. The power of sin, though, that's something that's present. By accepting what Jesus has done, you can be free of that presently. The presence of sin is something future, though. Because of what Christ has done, you can have hope that one day you won't have to fight anymore. It'll be gone. There won't be a temptation anymore. You won't have to keep emptying yourself every day and keep doing this pattern over and over and over again, because one day, this problem will be fixed permanently and you'll be what you were created to be. You'll no longer have to deal with the pain, the suffering, all the things that come with being in a fallen world. It'll be gone because the presence of sin will be removed. And Jesus has already paid the price to do that. And when he returns again physically, he'll make it a reality for you and for me. Being a Christian means knowing that you have these things in Jesus. And either you're confident that you have them or you're not so sure. You either know it or you don't. My question for you this morning is, have you emptied yourself so that you can be filled by God, so that you can thirst for him, so that you can be filled by what he has to offer you? As long as you're full of self, you can't be full of what God has for you. You can't enjoy what he's done for you. Are you filling yourself up with little Debbie snacks instead of the filet mignon that God has provided for you in Christ? This morning, I want you to take time to do some self-examination. Maybe you realize, look, I'm not even a citizen of the kingdom. This is all foreign to me, but this is something I want. I want to know that I'm right before God. I want to know that I can be free from this. I can be filled by him. I want that this morning. If that's you, come talk with me. Come talk with me. I'd be more than willing to pray. If you don't feel like you can, we have these bulletins. That's the little order of service here. There's a little flap in there. Put your contact information in there. Write down, hey, I'd like to talk with somebody about this, and give it to me here in the back. We'll try to make time to make contact with you this week. And I want you to talk to somebody. I want you to be sure that you know I'm a citizen of the kingdom. Christian, are you living as a citizen of the kingdom? Because you're going to look different than everybody else. But not if you're filling yourself full of self and junk food that really isn't what's truly satisfying for your soul. What are you filling your life with? What are you turning for comfort? So during our time of invitation, we're going to have music play. You respond as the Lord leads. If you need to pray where you're at, you do that. I ask that, don't just, I know we kind of just go through what we're used to going through, our routine, but I would encourage you, don't start off singing right away. Spend some time in prayer with your head bowed and asking God, give me a greater thirst for you. What am I filling my life up with that's not you? What do I need to do to chase you rather than something else? Or maybe you need to answer some questions that are deeper than that. If you need to talk with me, I'm up here. If you need to pray, there's a prayer altar up here. But you do what the Lord leads you to do this morning. If you would stand, and I'll pray over you, and we'll have our time of invitation. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, for showing us what life in the kingdom ought to look like. What we as citizens of your kingdom ought to live like on this earth, so people would know we're not from here. Our citizenship is in another land. We're foreigners here, and we want other people to become a part of where we're from, where our destination lies, where our home is. We want them to come home with us. I pray this morning that you would open our eyes to see what we're filling our life up with that's not you. And I ask you would give us the strength to pour that out this morning, to do the hard thing and empty ourselves before you so that you can fill us up, so that we can receive what you have for us, so that we can live our lives for you, making you look good. If there's anyone here this morning who wants to become or wants to know for sure they are a citizen of the kingdom, but they're on the fence, they're not sure, they're questioning, I pray this morning you would give them the confidence, the motivation to step out on faith and make sure that they know that they know that they're a citizen of the kingdom this morning. I ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.